He paid the price to rescue us, and then he filled us with his Holy Spirit. He brought us to the inn and then left with a promise that he's coming back for us. Hallelujah. Thank God for Jesus. Amen. Jesus is coming again.
Hello and welcome to Living God's Way, coming to you from the Germantown Christian Assembly in the Mount Airy section of Philadelphia. In an age when many are abandoning Christian values, Pastor Brian Grant's expository preaching from the timeless Word of God will remind us that the best way to live is to live God's way. This evening we will hear the conclusion of Pastor Brian Grant's message on the familiar story of the Good Samaritan. Earlier, Pastor Grant explained how the Bible is the only authority on how to obtain salvation, for it offers a salvation only obtained by believing the gospel. He also explained how the gospel provides hope for fallen mankind living in a sin-sick world. So we invite you to turn to the text in Luke 10 and follow along as Pastor Grant continues his message, The Good Samaritan. Once again, here is Pastor Grant.
Religion is full of rules. And I suspect that's why the religious leaders, they came and they looked. And left. The Bible didn't say it, so can I give you my conjecture? You know, some of the Jewish laws would say that if these men touched a dead body, they would be unclean. And so here they come and they look. The Bible says he's half dead. Well, they say, I can't be sure if is he half dead or fully dead. You know what I better do? I better leave this man alone. He might be fully dead. So I look. Thank God that Jesus finds us when we're half dead. Am I right about it? Choir, help me now. He finds us when we're half dead, and he doesn't look and go on the other side. He comes to where we are. And that's the message this morning. I want you to realize that the gospel makes it clear that eternal life is not earned. We are saved by God's grace. That's the difference between religion and a relationship with Jesus Christ. The gospel makes it. We're not preaching religion. We are preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ, that if you put your faith and in your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who died on the cross of Calvary, you will have everlasting life. Hallelujah. By the way, that's why, unlike what churches will tell you, that you gotta watch out because you might lose your salvation. You know why they tell you might lose your salvation? Because they want to make sure you keep following the rules. Oh, I hope you're listening to me this morning. Everything is designed to make you follow the rules. So if you don't do the right thing, you're gonna lose it. You got it, but you might lose it. What sort of fake eternal life is that? You know, I always wonder, how could somebody go for that? Jesus says, you'll have everlasting life. But the church said, if you do so and so, you won't have everlasting life. Well, that wasn't everlasting life. Everlasting life means what? I said last week, I was not the brightest bulb in the chandelier. But can I just suggest to you, if I see you next week, if you tell me today you have everlasting life, and I see you next week, and you tell me you don't have it, I would have to say, did you really have it? Because if you had everlasting life, and you don't have everlasting life, what sort of everlasting is that? Is it because I'm not bright enough to, I don't get it? Oh, my brother, I know I have this one right because the Spirit of God assures me that once you come to Jesus, you have everlasting life. And listen, you might be listening and you're one of those struggling with this matter. Did I lose my salvation because of what I did? No, you didn't lose it. Listen, once you have come to Jesus, once you have repented of your sin and you've trusted Jesus as your Savior, you have everlasting life and you have passed from death into life. Well, let me say the third thing. The gospel of Jesus gives life to the spiritually dead. The gospel of Jesus gives life to the spiritually dead. Verse 33, but a certain man as he journeyed came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion. So he went to him, bandaged his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and he set him on his own animal, brought him to an inn, took care of him. The next day when he departed, he took out 2 denarii, gave them to the innkeeper, and said to him, take care of him, and whatever more you spend, when I come, I would repay you. The religious leaders walked away on the other side, but the Good Samaritan came to where he was and had compassion on him. Oh, isn't that like Jesus? Isn't that like Jesus? Perhaps right now you're wounded and broken. And Jesus wants you to know he cares about you and he has come to right where you are to pour out his love and his compassion on you. My friend, today he's willing to give you spiritual healing and joy. You know, the Samaritan, it's very interesting when you look at what the Samaritan did. Did you pay attention to what the Samaritan did? The Samaritan bandaged up the man's wounds and poured in oil and wine. Can I say to you that the wine typifies the blood of Jesus? Can we thank God for the blood of Jesus that was poured out on the cross of Calvary? Aren't you glad that there is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins? Amen. Aren't you glad that sinners who plunge beneath that flow lose all their guilty stains? Thank God the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, is able to cleanse us from all sin. Listen, the wine speaks of the blood of Jesus, but the oil speaks of the Holy Spirit. Listen, the very moment we receive Jesus Christ, the very moment we ask the Lord Jesus Christ to come into our hearts and our lives, that moment we are saved. And that very moment, the Holy Spirit takes residence in our mortal bodies. Listen, if you know Jesus, you've got the Spirit of God. Don't listen to these folks who tell you the Holy Spirit keeps coming and he leaves you. He will never, ever leave you. Amen. The moment the Spirit of God comes in, he lives in you permanently. Hallelujah. By the way, the reason that every Christian has the potential of living a life of victory is because the Spirit of God lives in us. Amen. God lives in me by the Holy Spirit, indwelling power. Christ, he lives in me. Because because he lives in me. Listen, I'm talking to you, young person, older person. You're struggling in your walk with God. I want you to know that you do not have to keep struggling. You do not have to keep making excuses, because you have as much opportunity to live for God as the strongest Christian you have ever met, because the person who gives us the power to live for God is the indwelling Holy Spirit. The question, does he have all of you? He lives in you. You have all of him. People say, oh, I hear preaching sometime. Ugh. You need some more of the Holy Spirit. You don't need more of the Holy Spirit. Because when you get the Holy Spirit, you get him all. He's a person. You got him all. The question is, does he have all of you? That's the problem. You got all of him. You got all the Holy Spirit you will ever get. Well, I hope that sinks in. The question is, does he have all of you? Are you totally yielded to the control of the Spirit? Young person, you don't have to get to 65 to start yielding to the Holy Spirit. You can start yielding to his control right now. And perhaps that's what God is saying to some person here this morning. Oh God, and I pray that the response of your heart is, oh God, help me to be more like you. Lord Jesus, I want to be more like you. I'm going to yield to the control of the Spirit of God. The Samaritan bandaged up the man's wounds and poured in oil and wine. But listen. But notice what he did next. He put the wounded man on his own animal, brought him to an inn where he could be cared for, and then he told him, I'm coming back to settle accounts. Does that remind you of anything? Oh, somebody help me. What does that remind you of? Does that remind you of what Jesus did for us? He paid the price to rescue us, and then he filled us with his Holy Spirit. He brought us to the inn and then left with a promise that he's coming back for us. Hallelujah. Thank God for Jesus. Amen. Jesus is coming again. Oh, hallelujah. Are you glad about that? I heard at least one brother shouting amen. Jesus is coming again. The song says, tell the glad tidings. Jesus is coming again. I'm so glad he's coming again. I'm so glad. You know, I tell you, when you face bad news sometimes, you know, one of the things it makes you do is just sit back and say, thank God, I'm ready. No matter what happens, I am ready for Jesus. Spread the glad tidings, Jesus. Oh, I'm so happy to be a preacher of the gospel of Jesus Christ, to proclaim that Jesus is coming again. And young person, if you don't know Jesus, fly to him today. Receive Jesus as your Savior. Let him transform your life. Let him give you life abundantly. Let him give you hope. Jesus is coming again. He left the man at the inn. So what does the inn typify? Did you figure it out? The inn typifies the church. For God has established the church to care for those he rescues. God values the church, and so must we. So don't allow the devil to get you into this foolishness. You know the foolishness I'm talking about? I hear the foolishness. I hear one lady, she was happy to tell me, she's not a member of our church, but she did say, I don't know how you pastors are going to manage, because many of us won't come back to church. You know, we're so accustomed to watching church in our pajamas. She said, we're so accustomed to watching church in our pajamas. And, you know, with a nice mug of coffee. She said, I'm not going back. I ain't going back. Oh, I know you're coming back and you're already here. But what about the other members? Some of our own other members. Yes, I'm talking to you who are watching. Thank God you're watching. Talking from other churches. I know some of you who are watching. One gentleman who has been writing us regularly. He's in Greece and he can't find a good church. And we've been trying to help him as best we can. But sir, keep trying. God's emphasis is on the church. And listen, by the way, we want you to keep watching. Even if you're not from GCA, you keep watching, but you find your church as well. And watch us and go to your church as well. Amen? Find a church where you can be taught and you can get to know the people. But GCA members, we are looking for you before August, September, whatever day that is, September 19. But on September 19, we are looking for every single GCA member to be here as we come back home. This is God's will. God has put the church in the center. Put on the screen Hebrews chapter 10 for me, please. Hebrews chapter 10, I have it in the New Living Translation. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25. Here's what it says. And let us not neglect our meeting together as some people do, but encourage one another, especially now that the day of his return is drawing near. Well, I better rush along. I think I've been relaxing a little much and taking more time than I intended. So let me move quickly to the end. First, the importance of the gospel. Second, the impact of the gospel. And finally, the imperative of the gospel. The imperative of the gospel. Jesus said to the man in verse 36, so which of these three do you think was neighbor to him who fell among the thieves? And he said, he who showed mercy to him. Then Jesus said to him, go and do likewise. Don't miss the go. Don't miss the imperative. Jesus said to the man, go and do likewise. Go and do what the Samaritan did. Go and care. Listen. Helping those in need is an imperative for those of us who have been impacted by the gospel of Christ. So write this down. We must show the love of Jesus to those in need. We must show the love of Jesus to those in need. Let me put two last verses of scripture on the screen for you before I close. 1 John chapter 3, verse 17 and 18. 1 John chapter 3, verse 17 and 18. In the Living Version. But if someone who is supposed to be a Christian has enough money to live well and sees a brother in need and won't help him, how can God's love be within him? Little children, let us stop just saying we love people. Let us really love them and show it by our actions. There is an imperative to this gospel, and God expects those of us who have been redeemed by his blood to be compassionate, to be people of mercy, to be people who will show the love of Jesus to those who come in contact. The story of the Good Samaritan confronts us with three philosophies of life as we look at the people involved. The first philosophy was illustrated by the thieves. What's yours is mine, and I'll take it. The second was illustrated by the priest and the Levite. What's mine is mine, and I'll keep it. The third was illustrated by the Samaritan. What's mine is God's, and I'll share it. What's your philosophy of life? I pray that today, if you have been transformed by the grace of God, you will realize that what's yours is God's, and that you'll seek God's wisdom on how to share it.
My friend, Jesus loves you so much that if you were the only person in the whole world, he would have died just for you. No matter what you've done, Jesus wants to save you. He wants to forgive you today. You say, Pastor Grant, what do I need to be saved? You simply need to trust the Lord Jesus, repent of your sin, and turn to him. You may pray a simple prayer like this. Dear God, I'm a sinner, need your forgiveness. Thank you that Jesus died for my sins. Please cleanse me from all my sin. I receive Jesus Christ into my heart as my personal Savior and Lord. Please help me to live for you from this day forward. Amen. And my friend, if you pray a simple prayer like that and mean it, God will hear you and he will answer your prayer and he will save you. I hope you'll do that right now.
Thanks for tuning in today. If you received Christ or if this program was a blessing, it would be a great encouragement to hear from you. You may call us at 215-887-4750 or visit our website, livinggodsway.org. That's livinggodsway.org. And remember to ask for our daily devotional, The Word for You Today. We'd also invite your partnership in this life-changing ministry. Gifts can be made through our website or by writing to us at 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19119. The address again is 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19119. We invite you to join us for worship this Sunday at 10:45 a.m. It will certainly be a pleasure to meet you. Now, until next week, on behalf of Pastor Grant and our entire church family, this is Steve Washington reminding you that there's no better way to live than to live God's way.